You may be seated. I just had to do that. I couldn't help myself. Although I'm going to be talking about moms today, God's principles, of course, never change, and his principles are the same for all of us, whether we're moms, dads, or single people. I'm going to share some stories, and that might make it a little easier for the kids, too. I'm going to share some stories about women that I either know or have known of, and these women demonstrate qualities of strength and beauty and creativity as a result of trusting God in their lives. You know, I get very encouraged by stories of people that have loved the Lord, that have gone through various trials and have been victorious because of the Lord in their life. Those kinds of stories just really lift me up, give me strength and courage. I won't even go into some of the stories that I like, I'm sorry. But I love those kinds of stories. So moms and grandmas, I just hope that all of us are encouraged by these stories, stories of faith and action. Our scripture for today is Psalms 18, 30 through 36. Psalms 18, 30 through 36. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For whom is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is our God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden my path before me so that my feet do not slip." And these verses will be explained a little bit as we go through some of these stories. Well, the first story, it was in London. It was about 1940, World War II. And this little girl, Jeannie, was in her home when she heard the sirens, air raid sirens, go off. And her mother took her down to the basement, a dimly lit basement, where there was a makeshift shelter that was made of sandbags. And her mother did not want to frighten her. And so rather than huddling in a corner with her little girl, she knew that that would probably frighten her. So you know the saying that says, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy? You know, well, you know, that's a true statement. That's because moms have been given an ability by God and a responsibility by God to set the tone and the mood of their homes. And that's what she was beginning to do or trying to do with her daughter. So we can say, you know, if mom ain't scared, ain't nobody scared, hopefully. But Jeannie's mom was scared. Of course she was scared. Who wouldn't be? But she chose to instill peace and security in her child. And she could only do this because of the peace and the security that she had in the Lord, or she wouldn't be able to do it at all. And instead of her focus being on that dim basement and the bombs falling outside, dust was falling down from the ceiling, debris was falling on them. But they sat there in this little shelter, in this little sandbag room with one little window looking out into that dingy basement. Her mom began to sing hymns, and her mother found a newspaper. And her mother began, with the little girl, tearing the newspaper into long strips. And first, they made a valance for the little window that was looking out of the sandbag room. And then they tore some more, and they made side curtains for the little window. And then the mother said, well, can you make a tablecloth for our little box that was here in front of us? And so she did. And then the mother said to Jeannie, what would you like to have for your tea today? And they sat there and they had a pretend tea. And in the midst of that bombing, they were able to trust God. They were able to look at something other than the circumstances that were around them. Now, that little girl, she grew up to be a very strong Christian lady. She trusted the Lord no matter what the circumstances were in her life. She really hung in there because she had been trained well as a child. As an adult, she had a tea room in England, and later her and her daughter moved to, the daughter and her daughter moved to Florida and opened up a tea room there. Her mother instilled courage and strength and creativity and beauty in her child in the midst of a terrible situation. And interesting, how does Jeannie remember this time? What does she think? She remembers it as a lovely time, a happy time. I mean, that's pretty amazing. But that's what is in her mind, that it was a lovely time and a happy time. Isaiah 61:3 says, God gives us beauty for ashes. That's a verse I really love, and it is so true. I've seen it played out in so many lives, and certainly in this situation, God gave beauty for ashes. In Sharon and Rick's life, God gave beauty for ashes. They have a beautiful home. They have a beautiful ministry as a result of them losing their home in a fire. Well, moms, that is a promise for you and for all of us, you know, that God would be glorified in our lives and in our children. As we read in the scripture, it said, He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. And He certainly was for that mother and that little girl. Now, my grandparents, my grandmother and grandfather, they came to Canada, and that was just slightly after World War I. Before they left, my grandmother unraveled all the sweaters that she could get for free, and anything that was knit of wool, she would gather those, unravel them all, roll them all into balls so she'd have enough yarn that she could crochet on her trip from England to Canada. And it was a long trip in those days. You know, the ships weren't fast like they are today, and so it was a time where she had a lot of time, even though she had two little ones. It was a time for her to crochet and I'm sure have some quiet moments. I'm fortunate enough to still have that afghan. It's back there on that table. And it is just about 100 years old. Anyway, so that ship landed in eastern Canada. And even though it was the 20s and cars were available, they were so expensive, few people could afford a car. So they packed up what clothes they had, what pictures and few trinkets they had brought from England, and their two little girls, and they were under three, I believe. They boarded a train for Canada, or for Western Canada. And with good reason, these trains were not called the bullet train or anything like that. It took a long time to get from one side of Canada to the other. And they had to bring their own food. Food was just far too expensive on the train. When they reached Western British Columbia, actually they were in British Columbia on the western side of Canada, but they were in the eastern side of BC. They got off the train there. My grandfather bought a wagon and a team of horses, and then they had to travel from the southern part of eastern BC up to the northern part of the Okanagan Valley. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that, but this was a time when that portion of the valley was kind of being settled. And anyway, they were able to move there and afford to buy a small farm. But on this farm, the only structure there was one small one-room chicken house. So my grandmother, I mean, this was going to be their house, so my grandmother had to get busy and clean this house. And my grandfather was making a lean-to off of, I'll say the back of the house. And it had no walls, just a roof. And he set that up as their kitchen. It was an outdoor kitchen, and that's where they had the cook stove. And, of course, they moved into this with their two little children, two little girls. Every day, my grandfather, Pop, he would bring home sawdust, and he would bring home planks of wood. And at the on the inside of the chicken house, at the base, he would put a plank of wood to create like a double wall on the outside portions of this little house. So he'd put up a number of planks, and then he would bring sawdust, and my grandmother would have to pack all the sawdust in the wall up to the highest plank. And then, of course, the next day, he would bring more planks and go higher, and so on. But, you know, she had to do this besides cleaning her house and washing diapers and taking care of two little ones, cooking outside on a cook stove, you know, and then packing these walls full of sawdust. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know. I should never complain about anything, but I can't imagine what that must have been like. So my grandmother was a very grateful person. She just had a very grateful spirit. And even though she was cooking outside in the sun and in the rain and the snow and so on for nearly a year before they were able to enclose that little shed on the back and make it a real kitchen, you know, in all my life, I never heard my grandmother complain. She never complained about anything. She just had this amazing spirit about her. And whatever home she lived in, she always did her best to make it as beautiful as she could. When I was with her, she would always point out flowers and things of nature, you know, things that God had created, you know, so that I would begin to have an understanding. I was really small and have an understanding that God, who God was, and that he created beauty and he created things that were just amazing, really. She did have just a profound godly influence on my life and on her husband and her children's life. There's a verse in Isaiah 32:17 that says, "And the work of the righteous shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." That was my grandmother. That was my nanny, as we called her. So how was she able to cope with all that she had to endure? War and leaving England, her family in England, and moving, you know, all the way across the ocean, all the way across on the train with these two little tiny kids, it had to be amazing. Setting up a home in a chicken house, cooking outside for nearly a year before they could enclose that little room. Well, because she had faith and quiet confidence in the Lord, she was able to choose to be thankful. She was able to choose to have beauty around her, create beauty in her home. In our scripture, Psalms 18, it says, "God is a God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect." And that's God's promise to all moms. God will be there for you. He will arm you. He will give you what you need. His ways are perfect. Well, what happened to that little chicken house? They were able to build onto it a little more and turn it into a little house, a real house. And many, many years later, my grandmother was able to go back up there. She had now raised four children by that time. They had come down to the United States, and she went back up into Canada. And she went to this house. She walked up to the house and knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door, and she said to the lady, she said, "Do you know you're living in a chicken house?" And of course, the house was much more grand at this point. But she then stood there and told this lady the story of how this house came to be. And I just thought that was a pretty awesome, awesome thing, you know. I mean, wouldn't that be a fun thing to have happen to you? Well, Paralee's great-grandparents, now they lived in Lithuania. When the Russians took over the Baltic states, it was an unbearable time for them. They had a small farm, and although the farm belonged to them, the produce and everything that came from that farm, the Russians basically owned. They took whatever they wanted. And they left very little for the farmers to live on. So they were just barely making it. And many of the men, they had to abandon their families and go somewhere else to find work so that they could support their families. But the family still had to have a place to live, and they still had to farm, and they really had no choice because the Russia at that time demanded that they would continue to supply food. for their men. Well, Perley's great-grandfather, he did escape. He was able to leave the country, but he had to leave his family behind. And he went by, I think they had said by cattle ship or something like this, and made it to the United States. He was able to work there and funnel money back to his family through an underground system, through churches, until there would be enough money that her grandmother could finally escape. And of course, eventually meet him in America. But meanwhile, she was on her own and had to take care of this farm and four children. Those children were like from 10 to 1. She had to let it appear as though her husband had just abandoned her. They had to not look suspicious, like she was going to escape, so they had to try to make everything look as normal as possible. And they had so very little to eat. She really had a very, very strong faith in the Lord, and they went to church every Sunday, and one day they had very, very little to eat. I think they hadn't eaten for a day or so, and so she and the children were walking, it was either to or from town, I don't remember which, and they found a little coin purse laying on the ground, and there was no one around. There was no name or identity on this coin purse, and so she opened it up, and inside was money, and there was enough money for them to buy enough food for their family. And of course, you can imagine how thankful she was, and she thanked the Lord for that. And then they returned home. When they had gotten home, they found that the lady on the farm next to them had been found receiving money through the underground, and she was killed. And Grandma, even though she didn't have enough money to make this trip, Grandfather had sent some money back through the underground. She had some money, but not nearly enough. But she knew she couldn't wait any longer. She had to leave. And so taking what money she had and what little bit of clothes that she had, she went down to the river during the night, and she took her two littlest children and tied them to a log. And they all escaped down the river and out of Lithuania. I cannot imagine what that must have been like, that cold water and tying your kids to a log. I mean, that's just amazing. But as a result of churches helping them along the way, they were able to make it across a portion of Europe, eventually to a ship, and she eventually made it to the United States, where she later met up with her husband in Chicago. Well, did her parents live happily ever after that? Well, for a while. After that period of time, she did have, I think, one more child, I believe it was, a little girl. So they had four boys and a little girl. And then after a year, her grandmother had arrived in America. Her husband had died. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. And Perley's grandfather was the oldest child. Not her great-grandfather, but her grandfather was the oldest of those children. He had had like a third-grade education, and he had to go to work. He was now 12 years old, and he had to be the one to support that family. Her children, as time went on, her children, of course, had grown. And when they were fully grown, Grandma fell. She hit her head, and she went blind. It was unrepairable. There was nothing they could do. But that didn't change Perley's grandmother's cheerful spirit. She just always had a cheerful personality. Perley remembers her sitting at her treadle sewing machine, sewing and singing and humming, but she may have been hemming too. But she just had this great, great cheerful spirit, you know, and how she sewed and being blind, I don't know, but I've heard of it before, you know. But how could she do all that? How could she go through all those difficult times? Because she had a strong faith in God, a faith that kept her in church every Sunday. Again, referring to Psalms 18, it says, he trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. He trains my hands for battle. I'm sure her hands were trained for battle when she had to make her way to that river and tie her children onto logs. You know, a strength I'm sure that God gave her during that time. And certainly he sustained her. While our grandfathers are an integral part of our grandmother's lives, I don't want you single women to let the enemy lie to you. You know, he'll tell you you can't do it alone, or you're never going to be strong enough, or you never have time enough, or you won't be mom enough for your kids. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. You're not alone. Isaiah 54:5 says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. And in Psalm 68:5 says that God will be the father to the fatherless. So you got the best husband that you could ever have. He's a perfect husband. And your children have a great father in the Lord. And you know, when your kids come to you and they've got questions and, oh, how can I handle this? What do I say? What do I do? You know, you can say, hey, let's ask your heavenly father. You know, let's pray. Let's listen for an answer. Let's search through God's word and see what God's word says about that. What is our scripture for today? It was Psalms 18. And verses 35 and 36 are a great promise for you. You stoop down to give me, to make me great. Excuse me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden my path beneath me so that my feet do not slip. You broaden my path. Instead of it being such a narrow, difficult path, he makes the path larger. He makes the path easier. You know, and I know it's difficult as a single mom. You know what it's like. You know what it's like. You know, single moms, they have a tough road. But God promises he will make that road better, smoother. It says that so that your feet do not slip. You know, he gives you stability. He promises to give you stability in Scripture. I can't remember the verse for that right now, but he promises to give you that stability and assuredness so that you can stand on God's word and not be shaken by the circumstances in your life. So moms, please don't listen to the voice of the enemy or of the world that would have you believe that you're not important, that what you do is not important. It's a lie. Every diaper you change, every runny nose that you wipe, every fussy child that you rock, every meal that you make, every dish that you wash, every chore that you do has an eternal value. It's just not meaningless chores. It has eternal value. It changes lives. You have probably one of the most important jobs, if not the most important job in the world, raising and teaching the next generation. The words you speak and the behavior that you have model God in your life. And it teaches your children more about life and more about the Lord than anything could ever do. Teaching your children to know the Lord, to know his word, has a greater impact on our country than any politician in any position could ever hope to have. Yeah, it's true. When you look at the situation that our country is in today, sadly, I put it at the feet of the church, you know? I think things began to slip, and I think those that are older here can see that time period where things began to slip. Things became easier and easier and easier for us, and we began to take the Lord, I believe, for granted. We begin to think that we can do it on our own. And we've seen this country really slip. Well, sometimes you feel overwhelmed, ladies. like it's more responsibility than you can handle. But that's a good thing. God didn't intend us, you know, or design us to do it on our own. He expected us to lean on the Lord, to lean on Him for all that you need. The time that you spend with the Lord and in His Word will fully equip you for the ministry that God has blessed you with. Remember the final verses from Psalms 18. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to stand on high places. God is so good. And you know, I would encourage you, younger men and women, that when you get older, you'll look back over your life and you'll think of all the things that you thought were so terribly important to have, all the stuff, you know, that we just feel we can't hardly live without. But when you get older, you look back on your life and what you'll look at is, what did I really do? Did I make a mark? You know, not like somebody who's built a skyscraper like that, but have I changed this world in any way? You know, what kind of a legacy will I leave? And you ladies are leaving an incredibly great legacy. For what you do with your children and in your home is going to change the world in the future. Your kids are going to go out and make a difference. So hang on to that. And God gives you all that you need to accomplish it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these moms that have made such a difference in our lives. Lord, I pray that you strengthen them, encourage them, give them your creativity and your wisdom as they teach and instruct their children. May their homes be a home of peace and security, of love, and may they just be aware of God's presence in their homes. This is the most far-reaching ministry I know, Lord, that they have. Thank you, Lord, that in you we find all that we need to accomplish this kind of a task. And it is a great task, Lord, but a task that you've given us because you will give us the strength to do the job that we need to do. Now, Lord, today I pray that you just bless these women, these men and women, that as they go, that they would think about the home that they're creating, the lives that they are going to change, and the world that's going to change as a result of it. Lord, I thank you that you have already blessed this family, Lord, and that you are going to continue to bless them and give them all that they need. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.